Hey, a win is a win. That was a fun game yesterday. We're going to recap it next on Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in. It's always fun to welcome a Wednesday after a win. I am Dominic Cotroneo. This is Locked On Brewers. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. We are your only daily podcast dedicated to your Milwaukee Brewers as we are recapping yesterday's 5-4 victory over the Baltimore Orioles. Some great pitching, just one mistake really from the pitching staff, and just enough timely hitting to bring home the second win of the season. If you haven't already, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our YouTube page. Just simply Locked On Brewers and follow our Twitter at Locked On Brewers. And we'll be tweeting along in parts of the games. And I'm at Dom_Cotroneo. It's in the show notes as well. Look, on the outside looking in, you know, being 1-1 so far with the Orioles, you will be thinking, oh, this should be a sweep. You should be stomping these guys. But look, it's big league hitters on the other side. No matter what version that they are, if it's a team that probably is going to lose another 95 games this season, it doesn't matter. They're big leaguers on the other side. You still got to match up against them and win. And yesterday's game is certainly going to be a game that you circle for the rest of the month saying, had just enough. They are talented enough to beat anybody that walks through the door. The Orioles, they got a great player at the top of that lineup in Cedric Mullins. But as far as what their pitching did, and it's always funky to face so many different arms as well, but they bent, they didn't necessarily break, but a couple of clutch hits from some veterans on this team that we're going to get into. We're going to talk about the offense overall yesterday's game. We're also going to talk about, of course, the bullpen. 7-8-9 slammed the door today. It was also, you got to see Jay Cousins get back into form as well. Hobie Milner got a key out, so bullpen's looking good right now as well. Just fifth game. I know we're still very, very early. And we're going to talk about what's the overarching concern, what still continues to pop up in these games and what needs to be nipped as quickly as possible. And then we'll preview today's finale with the Orioles. Another night game, I should say, though. Same time, same place, 6:05 first pitch on Bally Sports Wisconsin, as it'll be Corbin Burnes getting the ball for his second go-around of the season. Let's start with Andrew McCutchen. What a game for clutch. Andrew McCutchen. First pitch swinging in his first AB with 2 men aboard and only one out. He rips a double down a left field line. It scores 2 runs. Scores Yelich from first base. And man, that dude can fly. I love watching him run the bases. Brewers took a 2-0 lead after an inning of play. Eric Lauer allowed a 2-out single in the first, but that was all. Things were looking good. Then you go to the bottom of the second inning, and things got a little shaky. And that ugly head of 2-out walks showed up again. 2-out walk extended the inning to the bottom half of the order, and Cedric Mullins on a 1-2 pitch, a hanging breaking ball, a grand slam to make it 4-2 in the second inning. And, you know, we're already looking around saying, all right, well, here we go again. This is not the Brewers starting staff that we're used to. But then they punch right back, and they got a gift for them as well. In the top of the third inning, Willy Adames leads off with a walk. He worked a great AB, but he worked his way to second after a ground out and a pop out. So all of a sudden, you know, 2 outs, runner on second, doesn't look like they're going to cash anything in. Rowdy Tellez puts the ball in play back to the mound, and the starting pitcher, Spencer Watkins, a terrible throw to first base, and an equally terrible scoop attempt at first by Trey Mancini, and that allowed Willy Adames to score from second as Rowdy reaches on the error, and then he would later come in to score on a 2-0 double by Hunter Renfro into right center field. So something significant about that double by Hunter Renfro. That was the first 2-out runner in scoring position hit the Brewers had registered to that point in the season. They were 0-for-11 coming into yesterday's game with runners in scoring position and 2 outs. And Hunter Renfro ties the game with an opposite field double into the gap in right center to make it a 4-4 game. That was the swing maybe that's not only going to help the Brewers get the monkey off their back, but get his monkey off the back as well. A great swing from him. Thought it was gone off the bat. He had a couple that he just missed in yesterday's game as well. Eric Lauer would settle down after that tough second inning. He allowed a leadoff double in the third, but then would retire the last 7 batters he faced in this game. Eric did enough. Too many pitches again for his starters. We'll get into that a little bit later. 89 pitches today for Eric. Not quite something that you're going to hang your hat on to work into the fifth inning. Did not complete fifth inning. A no decision for him. It's still 4-4 as we fast forward to the seventh inning into the Orioles bullpen. Willie Adames with a double to left field. That man is in the middle of everything. He scored three runs yesterday, reached base four times, including a reached on error. I mean, the dude had himself a day. He's having himself a season, one of the most consistent performers for the Brewers so far in his career. So he's on second base with one out. They go to a pitching change to go left on left with Christian Yelich against Cionel Perez, who, by the way, Yelich was 3-for-3 in his career against Perez. He ends up grounding out up the middle, but it did allow Adames to move to third with two outs. And Andrew McCutchen, man, with a 3-2 count and a tie game in the top of the seventh inning on the road, he lines a single the other way, doesn't try to do too much. A beautiful swing, a beautiful piece of hitting to score Adames, and ultimately was the game-winning RBI. And that only the second hit with a runner in scoring position and two outs for the Brewers this season. So a huge hit. They get the win by a final of 5-4 while the bullpen locked things down, albeit a shaky eighth inning we'll get to in a little bit. But Andrew McCutchen continues to swing at the first pitch. It's his MO. Clearly, he is attacking as soon as possible. He has swung at the first pitch in over half of his plate appearances so far this season. That's pretty shocking. I mean, when you think about it, how he just wants to go up there and rip. And just looking at last night's box score, he swung at the first pitch in three of his four plate appearances. He put the first pitch he saw in the first inning into an RBI double. Then he fouled off the first pitch he saw in the third. He fouled off the first pitch he saw in the fifth. And then he actually took a pitch in the seventh inning against Cionel Perez. And something that was so interesting in that at-bat, he must have known that maybe Perez was going to pitch around him, and maybe he should have, and here's why. So you got a runner on third, two outs, and a situational lefty on the mound for the Orioles. And Andrew McCutchen, who is known to destroy left-handed pitchers, he's got a career 3.45 slash line, meaning a .300 average, a .400 on base, and a .500 slugging against lefties. There are only two other guys in the leagues that can claim that right now, and that's Miguel Cabrera and Paul Goldschmidt. Okay, that's pretty darn good company. If you got a lefty on the mound and you're facing Andrew McCutchen and you don't have to face him, why face him? Because furthermore, you had a lefty on deck in Rowdy Tellez, who likely would have been pulled for Keston Hira. Bally Sports Wisconsin showed a shot of Keston Hira with a helmet on, his bat in his hand, waiting to get the call if Rowdy Tellez was going to come up to the plate. But they decided to pitch to Andrew McCutchen, and he makes them pay with the RBI single. This is what the dude came here to do. This is exactly what David Stearns and Matt Arnold were thinking. This dude is going to hit against lefties, and kudos to, you know, or non-kudos, I should say, to the Orioles for leaving in a lefty against McCutchen. And you may be saying, well, what about the three-batter minimum rule? Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was the second batter that Perez had faced. So intentionally walk him, then force the move for Rowdy Tellez to come out of the game, who is the superior defensive first baseman, by the way, in a one-run game. If you can get into the opponent's bench in any way you can, you should do it. And they decided not to, and they pitched to McCutchen, and Brewers fans are grateful for it. So the Brewers take the lead 5-4, and that was that. They win the game, same score as they did on Sunday against the Cubs. They got just enough to win this game. However, let's talk about another guy that got into this box score today, officially 1-for-4, scored a run as well, Christian Yelich. He had a vintage Christian Yelich swing, and that's not fair to call it vintage for a guy like Christian as young as he is. He hit a rocket to dead center field on his double in the fifth inning. Brewers didn't do anything with it, but he hit an absolute rocket, 110.6 miles an hour off the bat. And Jeff Levering mentioned this stat on the air yesterday. So that was his second 110-mile-an-hour exit velo already this season for Yelich. By the way, it took until May 23rd last season for him to get his first 110 exit velo. So for the folks saying, well, is Yelich healthy? That certainly indicates it seems like he's healthy. And he scored from first on a double to left field. So he seems healthy. Second of all, in 2021, he only had 15 balls in play total all season long that were 110 and above. He's already got two 5 games into the season. And furthermore, he had 35 in 2019 batted balls of 110 or more. I know I just said the other day, I just want to see the dude play, but the dude's playing, okay? The dude is playing. He's hitting the ball hard. He just missed a couple as well. He's still getting his walks. I'm intrigued to see when he gets more of his, you know, his batter's eye back and he starts feeling even more comfortable in the box, what can Yelich become? I'm not saying he needs to be the MVP again like he was in 18 and 19. I'm just saying, let's see the Yelich, the athlete again. And we saw that on that swing to dead center field. Just needed to get another 2 feet of lift on it. It would have been his first home run of the season. So certainly encouraging signs coming from Christian Yelich. On the concern side of things, 3-for-13 with runners in scoring position, which isn't terrible in the long run, but you also are now on the season just 5-for-35 with runners in scoring position. That's going to start to sway the tide back in the Brewers' direction. Now, think about it, too. They win 2 one-run games with virtually no hits with runners in scoring position. So when they do start hitting with runners in scoring position, figure these are going to be a bigger difference in score, you would think, right? Between going 5-for-35 with runners in scoring position and winning 2 out of 5 games total. That number is going to get bigger. They're going to hit better with runners in scoring position. I mentioned this on yesterday's pod. They are still missing Luis Urias right now. You know, Mike Brasso and Jace Peterson are not the same providers with runners in scoring position as Luis Urias could be at third base for the Brewers. So just something to keep in mind as well. Let's switch things over to talking about the bullpen. But before we do that, we're going to tell you about Built Bar, of course, one of our favorite sponsors here on the Locked On Network. Built Bar have these amazing little puffs. It's a marshmallow, but it's got protein, and it's good for you, and it's covered in 100% real chocolate, and it's got amazing churro flavors and coconut marshmallow flavors. They've even got a banana cream pie flavor in their Built Bar puffs. And if the puffs aren't your thing, you can go with the Built Bar. You can see their entire flavor lineup at Built.com. The calories, only 130, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein in every single Built Bar. See their entire lineup. They make things taste delicious. I don't know how they do it and that it manages to stay healthy. Kudos to them in the kitchen. They're getting it done. Go to Built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Again, at Built, BUILT.com, promo code is LOCKED15 to get 15% off. The bullpen got it done yesterday. I mean, with Eric Lauer giving up the grand slam to Cedric Mullins, and then he exits in the fifth inning, the bullpen got it done. Now, was it perfect? No. Did it raise your blood pressure? Yes. But would you want it any other way? Of course not. This is fun. So let's start with the sixth inning, as it was Jake Cousins who relieved Lauer in the fifth inning, got the first two guys out, no problem. Allows a leadoff walk and then a base hit to Urias. So runners on first and second and nobody out. And at this point, it's still a tie game. It's still 4-4. And you're thinking, oh man, Cubs is still fresh in your mind. All the wild pitches still fresh in your mind. And he locks in. He absolutely locks in. Gets a strikeout swinging on a fastball to Anthony Santander. Also gets a strikeout on a slider to Chris Owings. That was all he needed to do because, also, quick side note, timeout, side note here. Craig Counsell also showed again why he's one of the best managers in baseball, not just in the National League. Let me take you inside the play here. So Jake Cousins on the mound. Two outs, gets back-to-back strikeouts with runners on first and second. You noticed earlier in that inning when the trouble started to happen, there were two arms up in the bullpen. You had both Hobie Milner, and you also had Trevor Gott getting loose. Now, if you look at this lineup for the Orioles, 7, 8, 9 are all scheduled to be right-handed hitters. So once he got 6 and 7 out on strikeouts, you figure, okay, well, righty-righty are due up, right? Well, he knew that on the other side, Brandon Hyde had a lefty on his bench in Rougned Odor. And if he was going to bring in Rougned Odor to face Jake Cousins in that situation with runners on first and second, he wanted to make sure that Hobie Milner, his situational lefty, was ready. And furthermore, he waited, as you do, make sure the announcement is made that the pinch hitter is coming, and Rougned Odor, a lefty, makes the move to the lefty Hobie Milner, effectively burns Rougned Odor because Brandon Hyde decided not to use Odor after that by bringing in lefty on lefty. He decided to counter with Jorge Mateo. Not a bad move, but you're not going to go back and mix things up again. And credit to Hobie Milner. He got the out. He got a ground ball out to end the inning and did his job. He faced one batter and he gets the win. All right, we can have another discussion about wins later, but Milner gets the job done. Boxberger has his seventh. Got a great play from Willie Adames in this inning to a leaping line drive at short. Made a great play. Left the man stranded. Had a strikeout. Ho-hum again for Brad Boxberger. Now let's talk about the eighth inning. Whoo boy. Devin Williams. He made everybody sweat. And mind you, this was the first time the Orioles ever saw Devin Williams. Obviously don't share a spring training cities against each other. Have not seen the Orioles since 2017, so none of these guys have seen Devin Williams. Leadoff single on a changeup, and a good changeup by Austin Hayes. That's certainly going to rattle you. And then a walk to Ramon Urias, then another walk to Anthony Santander, and you blink, and the bases are loaded with nobody out in a 5-4 Brewers lead at this point because McCutchen's already got the base hit. Now you're worrying. Now you're like, oh my goodness, how is he going to get out of this? He has not looked good at all. Chris Hook comes out for a word, and the word afterwards, he's talking to reporters, Devin Williams said that Hook noticed that he was collapsing too low in his back leg and his setup. Basically, he noticed a flaw in his setup. So he fixes the flaw, comes out, 1-2-3, strikeout, swinging on a changeup to Chris Owings. Next batter was Jorge Mateo again. Takes a first pitch ball on a really good changeup. Swing and a miss. See ya. Two gone. Next batter was Robinson Chirinos. He was pinch hit for by Ryan McKenna. Takes strike one, swings and misses at strike two. Takes ball one, swing and a miss on a changeup. He goes 1-2-3 after loading the bases with nobody out with three consecutive strikeouts. That's not your closer, too. Remind you, he can get it out at any given moment with a strikeout with the best changeup in baseball. That is absolutely ridiculous. After that mound visit, he threw a total of 10 pitches. Or excuse me, he threw a total of 11 pitches. Nine of them were strikes. He also managed to get five swings and misses in those 11 pitches. Absolutely ridiculous to leave the bases loaded and virtually end the game there. And now in Devin Williams' career, I tweeted this yesterday too. If you don't follow me yet, do it, @Dom_Catronio. Devin Williams in his career now, when pitching with the bases loaded, opponents are now 0-12 with 7 strikeouts and 0 walks. When his back is against the wall, he turns it on. That was a show to watch of how to pitch. Then Hader in the ninth and Cedric Mullins again. So he hits the grand slam in the second inning, right? He gets robbed by Willy Adames in the seventh inning on the great leaping catch. And here he leads off against the best closer in baseball, left on left, 2 feet away from tying the game with a home run to right field. Man, this kid is really, really good. 30-30 season last year, the first 30-30 season in Orioles history. He gets a leadoff double, but then he didn't move from there. Back-to-back strikeouts for Hader against Mountcastle and Mancini. He allowed a walk to Austin Hayes, who was kind of nibbling a little too much, and then ultimately gets Ramon Urias to fly out to center to end the game and get his second save of the year. And a really cool moment for Hader, too. Remember, he's from Maryland, and it was his first time pitching back in his home state since 2013 when he was in the minor league. So first time pitching at the ballpark he grew up going to, Camden Yards. We talked about the Mike Brasso homer on Sunday at Wrigley Field, that was the ballpark he grew up going to. And now Josh Hader gets a chance to pitch in the ballpark he went to. Really cool moment for him, and he talked about it postgame as well. So the Brewers win by a final of 5-4. Bullpen locked it down again. Boxberger, Williams, and Hader, what a combo. The final three innings, they struck out 6 batters, and they allowed 3 walks, but none of them scored and no runs allowed. Boxberger and Williams get holds as Hader gets the save. So let's talk about the offense here and talk about the concerns of this one. 3-13 again with runners in scoring position. Mentioned this earlier. Wasn't great. You also got to give kudos to the pitching staff of the Orioles of locking down when the Brewers had runners in scoring position. They gave themselves plenty of opportunities. The Brewers ended up leaving 7 runners on base, just continuing to try to find that big hit. They just haven't been able to find it yet so far this season. But he also got to figure out what's going on with Omar Narvaez. He just missed a couple, though, today. I mean, he hit 2 deep shots to center field. Didn't get anything wrong, or didn't get anything out of it. So maybe that's what's going to get him out of his funk. And it was good to see Hunter Renfro get back on track as well with that clutch RBI double in the third inning. That was, at the time, that tied the game 4-4 in the third inning. And that's got to be a huge relief for him. A base hit with a runner in scoring position and an extra base hit as well. He is on his way. He's going to be a huge part of this team. But the big concern for me right now, and it's not even fair to call it a big concern given we are only 5 games in, what's going on with Colton Wong? I'm not a scout. I'm not going to try to make predictions of what's going on. I mean, 0-5 with 2 strikeouts from Colton today. Very much not him. He's off to a 3-20 start this season with no extra base hits, just 1 walk and 5 strikeouts. Just something to keep an eye on. Maybe he gets a day off today in the finale and let him come back strong against the Cardinals coming up tomorrow in the home opener. I don't know what's going on with Colton Wong, but see if he breaks out of this little mini funk he's in at the start of the season. The other concern, though, of course, is the starting pitching right now. One time through the rotation, and only one guy went five innings, and even then it was begging to get five innings out of Corbin Burns in the opener last Thursday, and he gets the ball tonight. You're going to need to get some more depth, and there are way too many full counts happening right now. Eric Lauer had another four full counts against him. He wasn't getting the swings and misses like he was in the first inning. He got three swings and misses in the first inning alone. He wouldn't get another swing and miss until the third inning. He just wasn't able to put away guys. He had those two-out walks. Again, the two-out walks are just killing the Brewers right now. The number on the two-out walks is pretty crazy. As now to this point in the season, they have allowed 26 runs. The Brewers have. They've allowed 26 runs total. They have allowed 16 two-out walks. Okay, so now 26 runs, 16 two-out walks. 14 of the 26 runs have scored after a two-out walk was issued. So not necessarily reaching base via a two-out walk, just saying the inning continues and 14 runs of the 26 have scored after a two-out walk. That is more than half. That's 54% of the runs that have scored after two-out walks. That's the number one concern for me right now. Too many two-out walks, too many full counts. They're going to figure this out, but the first time through the rotation, that's just quite frankly an alarming and unacceptable number for a pitching staff in the big leagues to have that many two-out walks just five games in. 16 two-out walks, five games into the season. Two-out walks just always seem to score. Rallies always seem to happen with two-out walks and leadoff walks. Just got to find the zone a little bit better. I know that's so easy to say, but also, Lauer only threw 9 out of 19 first-pitch strikes, so just barely less than 50%. And as a team, the Brewers are just barely over 50% when it comes to getting ahead. It has not been pretty as far as first pitch strikes. Coming into the day, 56% first pitch strike rate, which is dead last in the National League. So need to fix that moving forward in the season. Again, we're just five games in. Let's talk about tonight. So Corbin Burns gets the ball, his second start, five innings in his first go-around against the Cubs back on Thursday on opening day. Of course, reigning Cy Young winner. You don't feel like it's going to happen twice. He only had four strikeouts. He had three walks in those five innings. Granted, he really only made one true mistake, and that was the three-run homer by Nico Horner. So that's something to keep an eye, or two-run homer, I should say, by Nico Horner. So really only one bad pitch aside from the control issues. And the weather will be a lot better. It'll be a nice day down in Baltimore here later tonight. 6:05 start locally, 7:05 Eastern time. Hope you tune in on Bally Sports Wisconsin. On the other side, it's John Means, the 28-year-old. He's going to turn 29 in 2 weeks or so. And remember, last year he threw a no-hitter for the Orioles, one of the lone bright spots on the season. And mind you, back in 2019, he was second in AL Rookie of the Year voting. This is something that I totally forgot about because Yordan Alvarez was a unanimous Rookie of the Year that year for the Astros in 2019, but Means was in second, and he beat Brandon Lowe, Eloy Jimenez, and Kevin Biggio on this lineup as well, and Vlad Jr. Vlad Jr. played 123 games, and he finished in sixth in Rookie of the Year voting in 2019 for the American League. John Means is a good pitcher. He's on a pretty poor team. Last year, a 3.62 ERA, a 6-9 record, 146 innings, 134 Ks. He doesn't walk anybody. Less than two walks per nine, 1.6 walks per nine innings. He is getting his second start of the season. He pitched against Tampa Bay. He took a no decision in that one, four innings, six hits, one run. It was earned. And we'll see what we can get out of the left-hander on the mound from the Orioles. Brewers tend to have trouble with lefties, so see if they can fix that coming up here in game six tonight, 6:05 first pitch on Bally Sports Wisconsin. That'll do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Thanks so much for tuning in. Again, Brewers win 5-4 tonight, 6:05 first pitch. Thanks again for everybody who's tuned in. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. I am Dominic Catronio. Until tomorrow, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.